Hi everyone, today we have our guest in the Daryl West with us, and it's an honor for us. Thank you so much, Daryl, to joining us today, our live broadcast. And let me introduce to Daryl especially. And Daryl West is an American author and political scientist and the political commentator especially. West is the Vice President and Director of Governance Studies and Director of the Center for Technology Innovation at the Brookings Institution. And he has many books, etc. And today he will be with us. Thank you so much, Daryl, again. And greetings from Turkey.
Thank you. No, it's nice to be with you. I look forward to talking with you about technology. Lots of exciting things going on.
Thank you, Daryl. And my first question, especially, what are the most important technological developments that digitalized the health sector in our fight against coronavirus?
I mean, I think there are lots of exciting technology developments that are coming out as a result of the coronavirus. The virus is forcing people to work in different ways, to communicate differently. But I think in terms of healthcare in particular, technology has been very valuable just in helping to identify sick people. So for example, some places are starting to use remote temperature sensors as a way just to see if people are healthy. Some organizations are putting these sensors outside of their buildings, monitoring people who are coming in. So it becomes a way to just keep track of who is healthy, who might not be so healthy. And so it's a way to protect employees and people who work in different places. I think a second technology that is becoming a very widespread platform for a variety of health applications is just people's smartphones. Technology is really taking off every place around the world. Lots of different types of applications that are being developed. Here in the United States, we're starting to see mobile applications that are being used for contact tracing. And so it's a way to monitor who has been exposed to coronavirus, and it's a way to warn other people about people that you might encounter who have suffered the disease. So it's just another way that technology can be very helpful in protecting. And then the last thing is just artificial intelligence. We actually have a book coming out this summer on AI that tries to explain to people what AI is, how it's being used, what the opportunities are, what the risks are. And I think in the healthcare area, there are many ways AI is being very helpful. It's helpful in terms of detecting fraud. Like a lot of governments now are investing a lot of public money in the healthcare area. AI can spot abnormal patterns in the data, abnormal transactions, perhaps things that seem a little out of the ordinary. So it's a way for organizations to track use of fraud. AI is also helpful just in terms of testing drugs and possibly developing new vaccines, because AI can read a lot of literature, scientific literature, try and spot new chemical compounds that might be useful in developing evidence. So I think there are lots of ways in which technology is really helping people and organizations deal with this pandemic.
Given all this extent of digitalization that we're going through right now, I mean, it's of course, it's not a new thing, but that pandemic has given it a special push, maybe, for all sectors other than health sector also. So especially the individual use of technology has increased significantly since we are staying home, working from home, distance education, etc. Also, we know that, for example, e-commerce became very much more important than before. So the size of digital economy will be growing, obviously. So what do you think about the future of the international economic balances in terms of the digital economy? How would it determine the competitiveness across the globe in the future?
Okay, I think that's a great question, because I do think there are going to be consequences for a lot of countries just in terms of how they maintain their competitiveness and how it changes the nature of their economy. And I think, as your question suggests, e-commerce is a big winner in all this. Certainly in the United States, a lot of the shopping malls remain closed. So people increasingly are starting to shop online. I mean, before coronavirus in the United States, about 10% of the retail sales were taking place through e-commerce platforms. But we know many more people are now engaging in e-commerce. So I'll be interested to see what the actual numbers are. But I'm certainly expecting that trend towards e-commerce to really take off. So this will have big consequences for people's economies. I think all around the world, people are going to be relying on mobile technology. E-commerce is going to be the education area. There will be a shift to online education. Medical area, we're seeing an increased reliance on telemedicine. People, patients communicating with doctors through a video conferencing. And so I think all of these things will affect national economies and countries embrace technology innovation, have fast broadband, and that really take advantage of these new applications. Economy, healthcare, and education be very well positioned for future growth. And then conversely, countries that are slow to embrace technology innovation, that have slow broadband, and they're not able to really invest in this area, they're just behind. So I think there will be very important consequences that come out of this just for individual countries.
Yes. Again, in relation to the extent of the digital economy, one of the issues will be employment, I guess, in the future. I mean, right now we are already facing the issue of unemployment, especially in the services sector all around the globe, in many national economies. But all these developments that we are talking about in relation to the increase of digital economy in terms of its share in the general economy, that means new jobs, new occupations, new specialties for the coming years, I guess, will be required to be successful or to be competitive in this, the developing part of the economy in general. So what kind of insights do you have in terms of the rise of new occupations and specialties, etc.?
I think the big growth area in terms of employment and job opportunities is going to be with data scientists. When I talk to young people today, and of course young people are very worried about the job situation and the overall economic situation, I tell them, like, if they want a guarantee of a job in the future, having good data skills, understanding data science, kind of figuring out how to analyze that information is going to be a big growth area. Because all the ways in which technology is being used for the economy and education, healthcare, transportation, and in a variety of other areas, it's generating an enormous amount of digital data. Like, data is really the new gold mine of the contemporary period. So companies, governments, and organizations need people who are really skilled at data analysis so that we can take advantage of digital information to make better decisions. It's a way to improve organizational effectiveness. Instead of relying on the collection of data that takes weeks, months to compile, and by the time you analyze it, it's almost completely out of date. With the digital economy, you can basically collect data in real time, analyze it in real time, and then use it to make decisions that become more effective. So I think anybody who has skills in a data area will be very well served. The second area that I see as a big growth area is just in terms of video types of things, because I think the world is moving from the world of text to the world of audio and video. People love to get information via audio, such as podcasts. People love videos as a way to explain things. And so, you know, when I was growing up, it's like the written word, books and articles were the primary way that people shared information. Today, it's really video as a means of communication and a means of sharing information. So people who have skills in terms of making video documentaries, in learning how to use video. And then, of course, there's going to be analytic techniques that make use of video imagery. So facial recognition is starting to take off and become more widely deployed. The United States, some schools, for example, are using video cameras in combination with facial recognition just to promote public safety, safety in the school. So I think people who have those types of skills will be very well served. They will be in a very strong position to get good jobs in the future and help promote the growth of the digital economy within.
Yeah, thank you. And there is also an citizen services is changing, especially after the COVID-19, and governments services will change more and more. And government adaptation to the technology has also accelerated with the epidemic. Will the role of digital transformation increase in public administration in the post-epidemic period? What do you think? Also, and data scientists will be very important, but maybe data will help us and IoT will help us to services for the citizens from the government. And but your opinion and your comments is really important for us.
I mean, I do think the coronavirus and the development of new technologies is going to have a big impact on government, just the way governments function, how they deliver services. I mean, I think what we're already seeing is a major transition to cloud services and cloud-based information provision, because especially with the transition to telework, working from home, people working from remote locations, you need access to data wherever you happen to be. You know, many people are no longer working within their particular organizations, but they still need access to information. And so as opposed to storing information on your local computer, your laptop, governments are moving information to the cloud, and that offers great convenience, quite economical. It's a way to help people to access information wherever they have to be. The other thing that I think is going to come out of this is just the growing use of technology is going to help governments start to flatten their organizations. So we're all familiar with government agencies that have lot of levels of staffing within the agency. So there's like the frontline workers who are actually doing the work, delivering services, and, dealing with the people in their country. There are the mid-level employees who often are supervisors, and their job is to make sure the frontline people actually are doing the work. And then top-level people are kind of providing leadership, providing vision, and thinking about the long-term situation. I think as a result of advancing technology, organizations are going to flatten, not going to need as many mid-level supervisors as what we have had in the past, because through technology, organizations are finding that they can engage in performance metrics on line workers to basically keep track of what they're doing and to see if they're actually doing their job. So for example, I know that today, I often process various types of services. I often get a survey through an email basically asking me to rate the service. So if I take a plane trip, I get a survey from the airline company asking for experience, do I have a good experience, was the plane on time, or to stay in a hotel, it's the same thing, like, what was the service, was everything okay? I go to the local bank to engage in a financial transaction of some sort, and then I get an email from that bank asking me to rate the service of that individual. So I think there's going to be a big growth in job-based performance metrics that allow higher-level people to basically see who is performing well, who's providing good governments, who's providing good customer service. And then you can basically use that to distinguish strong performers, people who are not doing so well. So in that type of situation, you're not going to need those mid-level supervisors, because the performance metrics will allow you to determine whether the frontline people are actually doing the job. So I think in the long run, it is going to change the way a lot of organizations operate. It'll change the way agencies operate. And it'll provide a means to save money and help government agencies become much more efficient than many of them are right now.
Okay. Well, actually, you already mentioned the importance of data, the role of data scientists, etc. But maybe it would be more explanatory, let's say, to give certain examples of the kind of analysis that could be done by using big data, basically, especially in a period like this, in a crisis situation. What could be done with, in case the data is used properly, collected properly, and the data scientists have the right position in that situation?
I mean, I think there will be a big growth in data analytics and big data overall. What the data analytics will allow organizations to do is to engage in trend analysis. And we've seen a lot of this with the coronavirus. Like, you know, every country, every city is tracking the incidence rate over time. They're looking at fatalities. They're looking at the utilization of hospital beds, number of ventilators that are required. And so you have a lot of digital data. You can analyze that data and then use that information to spot trends. So it can show you the overall patterns. You know, we've all heard a lot about the phrase flattening the curve. So we know there already is this tendency with coronavirus to kind of see the upward curve as there are more and more cases, and eventually it starts to come down. Data analytics can also help in dealing with geographic disparities. So, for example, in most countries, there are differing access to healthcare between cities and rural areas. Data analytics can help countries keep track of those disparities and kind of figure out both, you know, where the illness is taking place and where it's spreading, but also kind of analyzing people's access to healthcare. You know, are they getting access to physicians? Are they getting access to the drug therapies they need? Do they have access to the proper number of hospital beds? So I think data opens up the possibility of looking at geographic disparities and helping countries deal with the underserved populations. And then last thing I point out is, in most countries, there also are racial and ethnic disparities, that some groups have access to more services, others have access to less services. And so data analytics allows you to really look at those types of patterns. So, for example, one of the things we found in the United States is African Americans are suffering becoming sick through a coronavirus at a much higher rate than whites. African Americans are also dying at a higher rate than whites. And so, you know, clearly it is a big public policy problem. And so data analytics can help you spot particular problems and then help you figure out how to deal with those issues, how you provide better services, both on a geographic basis, but also to underserved populations within particular countries.
Yeah, there are also, we have more than 2,000 audience now. I will select some questions from them, would you mind? And one of our, actually, what do you think of Starlink project of Elon Musk for providing high-speed internet? How are you going to get affected?
I'm not sure I caught all of that question, but I think it was kind of how are people going to be affected by new technologies? Was that the question? Basically, it's a way to think technology is going to help people try and gain more power over what's happening with them. Technology offers a lot of advantages just in terms of how it's affecting people, how people can use information to kind of learn about what's going on in particular sectors. We're seeing technology innovation really unfold in virtually every area. And so I think technology can become a great tool for people to understand what's happening to them, to spot trends, and to put them in a stronger position to use the insights that are generated.
Serhat, thank you so much. And do you have any last wording, etc., about today's?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it was a really good time for us. And we talk about data, AI, robotics, technology, future of work, new job, etc. And thank you so much for today.
Thank you. I appreciate the conversation. Nice seeing you.
Yeah, be safe. Thank you, Barbara.
Bye-bye.